So Romans 5 then, and the first five verses, we're looking particularly at verse 3. So last Sunday we began our new series, and I think it was during the course of the morning really that the title of the series took shape. So the title is From Stress to Hope. From Stress to Hope. Let's read these five verses then. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So our theme is stress, if you look at verse 3. Not only that, but we also rejoice or glory in tribulations. So we're going to look for the next few Sundays at the subject of stress. And what Paul does in verse 3 and 4, he plots a path from stress to hope. So you can see it there. Look at verse 3. He says, stress, knowing that stress produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So through a series of steps, we go from stress to hope. And we're going to follow those steps over the next few weeks. What we did last Sunday, do you remember, is we laid the foundation. We don't just jump in and start thinking about stress. Paul, in the first two verses here, he lays the foundation. Now, that foundation is important, and we spent some time planning that out last Sunday morning. And the basic idea of the foundation is, first of all, you understand what it means to be justified. So as you look at verse 1, it says there, having been justified. So it's a past action. It's a declaration by God that we are in his sight innocent. So therefore, we have peace with God. And do you remember that we said last Sunday that there will never be any reason for stress in our relationship with God? If we've understood things correctly, then we need never be stressed about our relationship with God. Now, that's why this foundation is so important. If we fail to understand that, then we're going to be on very shaky ground when it comes to understanding stress more generally. So the idea of peace means on God's part, there will never be any reason for stress. Because of his son, Jesus Christ, and all that Jesus Christ has done through his life, his death, his resurrection, the fact he's at the right hand of God, that perfect, complete, ultimate work of Christ, the grounds of that means we are never, ever in a position of stress in relationship to God. And then do you remember there are two further ideas in verse 2? We have access, so we are constantly in the presence of God. We've sang it in every condition, in sickness, in health, in every circumstance. We are in the presence of God, and we are there by grace. So it doesn't matter what's happening to you, you're in a grace relationship with God. And then we have this idea of hope. Now, sadly, last Sunday morning wasn't recorded, so we don't have access to listen to that, to think further about what this foundation is. But it's important to lay the foundation. So what we're going to do then this morning is we're going to come to verse 3, and we're going to think about stress. And we'll start with a definition. So it's really important to get our definition of the term right. Then what we'll do is we'll talk about the ways in which we think about stress. And then we'll finish this morning by looking at verse 3 and recognizing the importance of knowledge. So do you see there in verse 3, the emphasis falls on one word. So not only, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing. So it's so important that we end this morning with the importance of knowledge. So let's ask God then to help us to understand his word. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you then that we can take up this subject of stress as outlined in the word of God. And Lord, as we do so, we have stressed the importance of the right foundation. So we take a moment to think again that there is no reason for stress in our relationship with you. Whether we think about sin, whether we think about suffering, Lord, whether we think about Satan himself and all the opposition that the church faces, Lord, there is no reason to feel stress in our relationship with you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have a perfect relationship with you. We are justified. We have peace. Lord, we are adopted. We have all these great truths which we delight in the New Testament. So help us understand that foundation. So Lord, we do ask you to open our minds and our hearts now as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin by reminding ourselves that these five verses open and finish with the subject of hope. So you can see it there in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5. The idea is the Christian is a person of hope. We have a hope given to us by God. And Paul rejoices in hope in chapter 5. You know, don't you, that the writer to the Hebrews will elaborate on the subject of hope again and again and again. So there's this clear note throughout the New Testament that we are people characterized by hope. And you have it there, excuse me, in verse 2. It is the hope of the glory of God. So it's a hope that's in the future. It's a hope that is bound up in God and who God is and what God is doing. It's a hope in which we share in who God is and what God is doing. It's a hope that is built with some of the most wonderful words in the New Testament. The word glory. That's the highest word, if you like, in the New Testament. And yet that's the word that is used to describe our hope. So we are people of hope. But let's just add two notes. The first is that so often we feel pessimistic, don't we? And I read in the course of the past week, someone saying that Christians often seem to be pessimistic people. We know that we are just a few. And we know that the world is a tough place and an unfair place and an unjust place. And we know we're all sinners. So all these truths can have the effect of making us pessimistic. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel very pessimistic. I think I confessed last Sunday, perhaps rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but I certainly confessed last Sunday to feeling discouraged. And I think all of us battle with pessimism, discouragement. So I think it's very timely, therefore, that we remind ourselves that we are people of hope. God has called us, God has invited us to share in his great work of glorifying his name. So let's try and recover that sense of hope that marks the Christian. So verse 3 then, not only that, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations. So tribulation then, this word, let's say what it's not. The New Testament is very good at making distinctions between certain kinds of human experiences. And in the weeks to come, we'll spend more time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul lists there several different human experiences. So by stress, the New Testament doesn't mean, for example, grief. We may feel grief at the loss of a loved one, but that's not the same as feeling stressed. The New Testament will talk about anxiety. And anxiety is different from stress. You'll also know that in the Bible as a whole, you get the idea of being cast down. So we may read in the weeks to come those Psalms that refer to our souls being cast down. Now, that's not the same as stress. So hold in mind these differences. Because if you're anxious, then the New Testament will have certain advice for you. If you're cast down, then the Bible will tell you to do certain things. But if you're stressed, then there's a different train of thought in the New Testament. So let's look at what stress is. And some of you know already, because we've kind of hinted at it, that the word stress, the idea of tribulation here in verse 3, is the idea of pressure. Now, it can be used, this word, to describe crowds of people. Do you remember in the ministry of Jesus, there were those early occasions when great crowds attended his preaching and his ministry. And we have an occasion described for us when there were so many people present, pressing in on each other, crushing one another, that Jesus went, do you remember, into that boat off the coast and preached from there. The idea of stress is this notion of being under pressure. The sense of a weight bearing down upon you. That's what Paul is talking about here in verse 3. So it's pressure, it's a weight, it's burden, it's crush, it's squeeze. That's what this word is referring to. So how do we often think about stress? Let's make a distinction between the objective and the subjective. You've got that distinction there for you on your notice sheets. So when we think about stress, we often think about the objective. What I need to do, how many demands are placed upon me. When we think of stress, we often think about responsibilities. We think about activities. We think about busyness and rushing around. People wanting things from us. People expecting things of us. That's what we think about in terms of stress. So you've got one day. You've got so many things to do in this one day that you have this sense of the pressure of the expectations of a particular day. So in work then, some of you will have lots of demands. You will have lots of emails. You'll have people asking you things, expecting things, requesting things, asking things. And there's this volume of activity that is expected of you. It's the same, isn't it, in family life. You may have parents who want things from you, want you to do things for them. You may have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all of them need you in some way. They may want you to look after them. Your children may want you to look after their own children. You may have meals to prepare. You may have people to visit. You may have all these things going on in your life. This is how we tend to think about stress. It's the demands that we face in the course of a day or the course of a week, perhaps. It's this sense that we have of what is required of us. That's the objective way in which we think about stress. But let's also do the subjective. What I want to do is try and get, and I've thought hard about this, and perhaps some of you will have additional thoughts that you could share. Let's think about the subjective. I want to divide this into two: thoughts and feelings. So this is now me inside. I'll have my own thoughts and I'll have my own feelings. And stress is concerned with how I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. So let's start with thoughts. To be stressed is to think that you're not going to be able to do all that's required of you. You'll think, I'm not up to this. I can't do it. You'll think that it's not fair what's being asked of you. You'll think that you won't get it all done, and because you won't get it all done, then somebody else is going to suffer. Somebody's going to criticize you. Somebody will find fault with you because you're thinking that you are not equal to the demands being placed upon you. So you're thinking in certain ways. You're thinking about the demands, then you're thinking about yourself, and as you weigh those two things up, you start to think, I am not equal to what's being asked of me. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough skill. I don't have enough knowledge. I haven't got enough resources. So you start to think about yourself in terms of what you lack. I don't have. I haven't got. And this is the way you're starting to think in relation to the demands that you're facing. And then you'll start to think not about yourself in that moment, you'll then think about the future. If I go on like this, then I'll be ill. If I go on under this pressure, then I'm going to be exhausted. If I continue like this, my health is going to break down. I'm not going to sleep. So you're thinking about your own lack. You're thinking then about how things will work, how things will go, how you're going to manage, what you'll be like. And these thoughts start to produce this feeling. And stress is essentially a feeling. Now, we'll come on to that feeling in a moment. But are you clear about the fact that thinking is very important in the experience of stress? You start to think, oh, this is too much for me. Too many things are being asked of me. I've got too much to do in too little time, with too few resources, too little energy, too little patience, and you're starting to make this judgment about you and how you fit in with all the demands that are placed upon you. So stress refers to pressure, and the pressure is, if you like, objective, what you have to do in a day, but it's also subjective. The pressure is coming from your thoughts. Can I do this? How will it affect me? What if I get it wrong? What if I let someone down? What if I don't do this thing? Will someone criticize me? So your thoughts add to the experience of stress. Now, there's more we could say about thoughts, but let's talk about feeling. The idea of pressure or crushing is primarily a feeling. And it's quite difficult to describe this feeling, but I'm sure all of us have had it at some point. It's the feeling of being agitated. It's this feeling of rush. It's this feeling of being highly aroused. Now, that word is a psychological word. It's where you're feeling very irritable and very critical and very short-tempered. Your feelings have been stirred, and you're in this condition in which everything seems to be vibrating on the inside. Stress. So let's sum it up. What do we mean by this word? It's a wonderful word. It's a word that was of great interest in Paul's day to the philosophers in Greece. So do you remember in the book of Acts, we saw Paul traveling from Ephesus to Athens and Corinth, these great cities where the philosophers did their business in the marketplace. And they were very interested in this idea of stress and how to live and how to cope and how to manage. And they had their different ideas. So it's to do with life, the demands, the expectations. It's to do with relationships, what people want from you, what people expect of you, what people do to you, what people don't do. There's that level at which we think of relationships. But also now, and perhaps most importantly, stress is to do with the way we think and how thinking then leads to how we feel. So just to sum up again, you're thinking, I am not up to. I can't go on. I can't manage. I can't do. And so there's this negative evaluation that we make about ourselves in relation to the demands, what's going on around us. I can't. And then we have the feelings that are a result. Now, as well as that feeling of being highly wound up, for some people, stress can be a feeling of anger. And you get angry with people. You get angry with others. And being angry, then we can be short-tempered, irritable, snappy. we are best avoided when we are feeling like this, because we say things we regret and we do things that we regret, because there's this tension, this worked up sense going on inside of us. Stress. So that's our definition then. And in the weeks to come, we're going to look at three men. I said to you last Sunday that our main focus is going to be on Paul. And Paul very much sets himself up as a model. So perhaps next Sunday, who knows, we'll go into 2 Corinthians 4, and there's Paul very clearly saying to us, look at me. Look at what's gone on for me, objectively. So he laid out for you, chapter 1, chapter 4, what's happened to him. And then he'll tell us how he managed. What did he do? And we'll see that very clearly. The idea of being a model in this way is very modern. If any of you ever go to therapy and have counselling perhaps, or some other kind of support, the person who's helping you will model the techniques and the advice they're giving you. So it's a very modern idea. Now we'll also look at Peter, because Peter is someone who had a very unique experience of stress, and he didn't do very well. And all of you know, I'm sure, that we are referring to his denial of Christ. That was a uniquely stressful moment for Peter, and he refers back to it in his letters. So we'll take a look at how Peter talks to you about his experience of stress. And then the third person we look at is James, the one who is the brother of the Lord. And he'll talk again about stress and how stress works and how to respond to it. So that's going forward. Let's come back to verse 3. And what you see in verse 3 then is the importance of knowledge. So just look at the word again. Excuse me, Romans 5 and verse 3. Not only, but we also rejoice in tribulation. So if you like, the way that the steps work is like this. We have tribulation, stress, if you like, stress producing perseverance, perseverance producing character, character producing hope, and above it all, like an umbrella, is the idea of rejoicing. And James says something similar, doesn't he? Count it all joy when you fall into various stresses. So the idea is there are these steps, we rejoice over it, and we can rejoice because of what we know. And do you remember last Sunday? Rejoicing. It doesn't mean to be happy. So Peter will tell you very clearly that no stress is a happy experience. And Peter will tell you that you're not meant to feel happy in a stressful experience. There's nothing Christian about pretending to be happy when you're undergoing stress. That's just nonsense. So don't think you need to be happy, says Peter. Rejoicing is boasting. Boasting of. Being proud of. And so the knowledge that we'll be developing in the weeks to come is knowledge of how God is at work in our experience of stress. So if you like, it's quite a simple task. It's to point out to you and to show you very clearly that in the experience of stress, God is at work. God in his wisdom and in his power is at work to produce the most wonderful thing. in and through our experience of stress. Now, what Peter will say to you is this. You'd much rather, wouldn't you, have a life without stress. And James will say to you, when you are stressed, don't think of it as some strange thing. And then Peter will add his voice, and he'll say to you, don't think of stress as some foreign thing that doesn't belong to the land in which Christians live. So can you see how they are beginning to address the way we think about stress? So by clearing the ground, they will then bring in the purposes of God. And it's that knowledge that will make all the difference to the experience of stress. That God, through his Son, is choosing to work in the lives of his people through the experience of stress. And he's choosing to do a work of glory. And so it's about that foundation that we laid last week. So one further word on knowledge. There are several words in the original language for knowing. And the one that is used here means to know how something works. Now, I've no idea how mechanical things work. I've no interest in how a car works. Don't appeal to me at all. But the word here means to know how something works. You know the mechanics of it, the electrics, the wirings. You know the moving parts. You know the inside. You don't just make use of something like I do, get in the car and drive off. This knowledge is knowledge of how something works on the inside. And that's the knowledge that we need to develop. Knowing how God is at work on the inside of our experience of stress. So in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our experience, in the circumstances, in the moments of stress, we need to know how God is working on the inside. So if you like, we could talk about the mechanics. The knowledge is the mechanics of how God works through our experience of stress. Well, that's what we'll be developing then in the weeks to come. Let's ask God to help us as we do so.